I just decided to click the button to make it happen. It's the news, according to me. Good Tuesday morning. It's already Tuesday, August 12th. August is almost over. 7:09 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2025. I am your host, Kevin. I have so much going on this morning. Just a few things to deal with. I have a little puppy here at my feet that's, he can't eat because today is the big day. It's the big day in his life when everything changes. He's getting himself fixed today. And hopefully it's not too soon and hopefully it's not too late. I would rather wait another couple months, to be honest. But he's got to the point where he's showing signs of needing it done, according to one of the doctors that we talked to. 18 months is the best time. He's almost there. He's 16 months or 15 months. They have determined that there is a correlation between neutering too early, and hip dysplasia later on in life. And my last dog had it, and it broke my heart. It was so difficult for me to go through seeing him go through it. He was a trooper, though. He was a good dog. I just don't want to see another dog go through that. And we're going to try to do everything we can to keep that from happening. I am. So, that's where we're at today. In my cup, I have my favorite Big Train Chai, along with my Almond Joy Creamer. I also have, in my backup cup, I made a fresh batch last night of homemade peach sweet tea. And the peaches are permeating the tea very well. They soaked overnight, so it was it's in pretty good shape today. This morning, it's pretty good. Tastes pretty good. I have a little bit. I put quite a little bit of ice in there, and it's already kind of melted out. So it's a little bit watered down, but not bad. It's got that. It's just about right. It's not overwhelming. It's not too sweet. It's sweet enough, not too sweet. And my dog is going nuts because he can't eat. He can't eat this morning. Can't eat since 6 o'clock last night. So I think he's getting a little hungry. Yes, where he was smelling the food from the other dog. I had him down here earlier, and he was just barking his head off. I had to take him out. I had to do a little walkabout, as they say down south. We'll see how this goes. We're just going to see how this goes. He'll probably start barking again. I don't know if he's going to be able to put up with it or not. But anyway, a lot of things to talk about. Didn't have a show yesterday, the Mishmash Monday. This would have been a good Mishmash Monday, actually. Show because of all the stuff I want to talk about. Just a whole lot of things going on. I was going to talk about this later, but I'm going to talk about this now. There's actually some serious tough questions being asked by the legacy media to some of the Democrat folks. Pritzker, for example, was asked recently about the gerrymandering in his own state because all this gerrymandering is going on down in Texas, according to the Democrats, it's never been done before. They're subverting the Constitution. They're not following the rules. Notice they're not saying the law. There's no law being broken here. Trump wants to do a new. He wants to do a new census. Normally, we only do a census every 10 years. That's the normal way we do it. He wants to do a new census. Of course, this is kind of in the middle of that. We just had another census. The problem is they want to count everybody. They don't, non-citizens and citizens alike. When you realize why we take one of the main reasons we take the census is yes, it's for government programs, for federal funding in certain places, for schools and everything else that goes on, infrastructure, that kind of thing. It's not just for that. The main thing, and this is where the Democrats know that they've got an edge, when they bring more people in and they put them in certain districts This is why they shuffle them all over the world, or all over the country. I mean, they fly them in different places in the country and they dump them in. So when they do that, they gerrymander. It's what's called gerrymandering. They set up districts where there's certain populations of people, and the represent. It's a kind of complicated puzzle. I'm not going to get into it too deeply here because it's a rabbit hole. I could spend the entire show going over, and you probably still wouldn't really care. So let's put it this way. They draw lines in districts. So you have districts in different states, and of course, what they do is they have certain districts, and when you can kind of put a certain amount of people in a certain district, that gives you an edge politically for one party or the other. They've been doing this for years. And the Democrats, especially in Illinois, the reason they've been a blue state for so long, it's because of Chicago, and it's because of some of the highly populated. If you look at the country, the areas that are blue, it's mostly red, except for the areas that are blue are the highly populated areas. And what they do is they use this gerrymandering process to establish more congressional representation on the federal level. It also works on the state level, but it's a district type thing. So we have two. We have a representative in my district. There's a representative, and of course there's one blue county, but that's not really a blue county. But they make it a blue county. It's the most highly populated county up in the north here. Now, there's, of course, Indianapolis, Evansville, down in the southern part of there's, you know, Fort Wayne. Allen County is very highly populated. It has normally, when I was growing up, it was very much a red county, very much conservative leaning. Indianapolis at one time was as well. Now, Evansville also was. Now, it's not anymore. there's some other places, Terre Haute, other places that are I would say, have become left. Mostly, you know, any place there's a big college, state college or anything like that, it starts to, you know, just permeates that kind of thing. And the what they don't want to tell you is that they've been using this technique for a long time, and so they're now throwing these fits, and all these congressional folks from Texas have left the state so that they can't have a quorum. They have to have a certain number of – what that means is they have to have a certain number of representatives there in order to vote on something. And, of course, if they leave, then there's not a certain number. You can't have a quorum. What is it, 80% of them have to be there or whatever it is. A bunch of them have left. And so they can't have this quorum. So they can't strike a vote because not enough representatives are there. So that's just – it's just they're playing games. These are childish games, in my opinion. I'm not going to win this. And they know they're not going to win this. It's all about a public – this grandstanding for the public. It's all political theater. As I've said, most of this stuff is political theater. They only want to be there when the cameras are rolling. There's certain representatives and certain politicians that just love the cameras, want to be out in front of the camera and want their little thing done. that's what they do. This is what they do. And that's why you only see certain ones out there. They all have the same amount of power. They just vote. But the big thing they want to do is have bully pulpit power, which is where they like to get in front of a camera and rant and rave and share their little narrative that they want to share. This is what they do all the time. So what we've done here is that Texas is actually going after them. There may be some criminal charges filed. If they just show up and do the thing, that Texas has said they're not going to mess with them. You know, they won't press anything. But they are seeking. Actually, they've submitted to the FBI that they need to find these people and bring them back. Most of them went to Illinois because Pritzker, who his family is there, he got his money. His family money comes from hotels. His family owns hotels. Well, guess what? All these representatives got to go to Illinois and be put up in hotels. They're just having a party. And it's all for the camera. Now it's just the party's not for the camera, but they're acting like they're so brave and so they're doing their job to protect democracy. This is democratic way. We're going to protect our democracy. Now when they talk about their democracy, Now, keep in mind, we have a republic. They want to try to protect their democracy. In other words, when the Democrats talk about democracy, they think they own it. They think they own the democracy, this nation's democracy. And anything else, any other party, is a danger to their democracy, but it is to their democracy. So that's what they do. They think that they can pull that out every time because they feel like because their rule, their reign, is being threatened. They don't like that. If they had the opportunity, they would take out the Republicans. They would be a one-party system, and they would get rid of the Republicans right now. The Republicans don't mind necessarily having an opposing party. They don't. They just don't like the fact that the opposing party is so radical, so crazy. In fact, there's some establishment Republicans that play the game of opposition. They like that. They like to pretend like they're on the good side. That's their little shtick. And they're not at all. They're after hours, they're out partying with the Democrats just like everybody else and laughing it up. And this literally happened. This isn't conspiracy theory. This happens. Plenty of people have written about it. Plenty of people have exposed it, but it never gets any airtime because the news media is in on the whole thing. They love the parties too, so they go out to the parties and they party up with all these people, especially the establishment Republicans. Now, there are those who don't, and they're on the outside. Now, having said all of that, the thing that's really quite interesting right now is that even Pritzker has been getting some tough questions from the media lately. These Democrats who are doing all this different stuff that they're talking about, they're actually getting some tough questions. Not very many. It's shocking when they get even one. But they've been getting a few from some people. Recently, I think it was Dana Bash. Was it Dana Bash or who was it? No, it was, who was it? It might have been... I think it might have actually been Howard Stern. So somebody did an interview the other day with Joe Biden. They were practically in tears about his leadership and how great he is, and how anybody why nobody can see it. Just how terrible it's been that he's gone through what he's gone through, and the years of service that he's given to our country, and just went on and on, practically crying about how great the man is. This is the kind of hogwash that we have to put up with so often. But it's on and on with this stuff. Now, but what's happening here is that the news media is realizing that, hey, this didn't work last time. We gave it our all with the entire portrayal of Kamala Harris being the presidential candidate and being the one who could win, and even said she was going to win. We raised, she spent $1.2 billion. Actually, estimates are that's actually with all the PAC groups and everything, it's close to $1.5 billion. Unbelievable. So we have, and Trump spent less than half that. And won, handedly, I might add. His approval ratings, despite what they continue to try to tell you, are going up. There are more Democrats switching over. And now there's some Democrats actually coming out, some staunch Democrats, who are contributors to some of these legacy media places. They're saying, you know, we need to start acknowledging when, you know, Trump does something that's good, we need to acknowledge it's good. We can't just continue to we can't always take the other side. When he does something the American people want him to do, we need to agree with it. We need to be okay with that and not just take the other side of it just because it's him. And that's, there have been several who've said that lately. And of course they get canceled right away by doing that, because you have a swastika Democrat party that if you don't go along, you get axed. You're done. They're the fascists. It's our way or the highway. You agree with us or you're canceled. That's just the way they are. When the Republicans now are showing some of their disagreement on, you know, to the open public, and everybody sees it and hears it, everybody, oh, look, they're in chaos. They're having civil discourse. That's a normal part of family life. It's sad that it has to be in public, but I'd rather have it in public. Honestly, I'd rather have that stuff happening in public than make it look like everything's fine, but they're having arguments behind the scenes. I'd rather have them just have their arguments right out there in front of everybody. Let the nation know the truth, and the people know the truth, and the nation will be saved. Let's see it for all it is. Let's be a part of it. Let's see the warts and all kind of thing. Democrat Party tries to hide it, and then they end up looking worse for doing so, because we can tell now this has happened. I think there's people in the news media, and there's people that are contributors to the news media who are trying to call some things out here, basically saying, hey, this didn't work last time. We can't just keep wagging the dog. And it's not going to work. We're losing this battle of just orange man bad is all we have to offer. We have nothing else. We have no other solutions other than just we are the party of orange man bad. That's all they are. And they're realizing that's not a winning argument. I think, is it California or was it some other state? It was someplace out west. The number of people young people registering to vote are registering as Republicans almost, is it 3-2? It's like 60% in 60% greater numbers. However that works out. Like 60% are registering as Republicans and 40% are registering. Well, 30% are registering as Democrats. There's 10% as independents or others. It's ridiculous. They realize this is not going well for them. They had the young vote for a long time. They had Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan was a Bernie supporter. By the way, Bernie Sanders is a total fraud. He was recently, I think, no, it was that's who was being, Dana Bash, I think, was interviewing him. I guess that's who I'm thinking of. She made this comment about how he's the most admired person in the United States next to the Pope. He's one of them. In fact, he's only second to the Pope. And he said, well, are you suggesting I run for Pope? Oh. She said, I don't think you're qualified for that. Try to make a joke out of it. I don't know who took this. Who takes these polls? Bernie Sanders, the most admired person in the United States. Most admired person. Who are they asking? Where did that come from? First of all, what has Bernie Sanders ever done? Notice, and I tell you what, if I were to ever see Bernie Sanders in an airport, it'd probably not go, it would not be the best day for me. It would not go well for me. He looks like a nice enough guy. He's a grandfather or whatever. The man is a total fraud. He's all about millionaires and billionaires until he becomes a millionaire. Now he's just about the billionaires. Now eventually he's going to be a billionaire and he thinks he deserves all that. Tax the rich, unless I'm rich. Just not the politicians, not the rich politicians. Don't tax us. Because we're public servants. We're just these lowly life, barely getting around. Just all we get is bread and water every day. Insider trading. I'm not doing insider trading.
Well, that's my husband's. My husband does all that. My husband does all the trading stuff. I don't do any of that. So it's not insider trading because it's my husband that does that.
Oh, so you don't talk to your husband at all about trades. He doesn't hear about the legislation that's going past and all the stuff that you hear about in committee. You don't say anything about that. He just somehow miraculously outperforms every other investor on the planet He's not that good. There's some others that do better who are also in Congress. Nobody talks about Dan Crenshaw. One of the, he's worse than, I think he's worse than Nancy Pelosi. His portfolio is like 300% more or some ridiculous thing. Don't quote me on any of that. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a financial counselor. I'm not an expert on any of this stuff. I'm just my opinions. Just rattling off what sticks and what goes through Gooster Man. So don't take anything I say as absolute. I don't know. That's my disclaimer. I don't know. I don't know. I do know that my tea is very good. So I do know that. Now, having said all of that, let me know what your opinion is on that stuff. You can call the show, 812-379-8778. You can call or text the show and let me know what your opinion is about my opinion. Because this is a show that's, the news according to me. It's my opinion. I have an opinion and I'm just going to share it with you. I'm not one of these people who say, well, a lot of people say this and a lot of people say that. Well, there's some people who don't like. No, I'm going to give you my opinion on stuff. I might tell you what a lot of people think, but I'll tell you what I think. Ask me what I think, I'll tell you. That's just the way it is. So ask me, 812-379-8778. You can call or text the show. Now you can call, you'll get a voicemail. It's a hotline type thing. You'll call in. Obviously, the show is not live, so you'll have to call in, leave a message, and then you can also text the show at that number as well, 812-379-8778. If you don't have an international calling plan or you don't have a phone handy with you there, you can just go to google.com/voice, type in that number, 812-379-8778, and just share your opinion. And if you don't want your voicemail to be played on the show, you need to let me know, otherwise I will play it. Otherwise, there you go. So we have, it's interesting the media is doing this. The reason I think is because they realize, hey, this, we've been had. This is, we can't keep playing this game. There are a few of them that are kind of waking up to this fact and they're trying to steer the Democrats in the right direction here. Hey, we can't keep playing this game. But they're not listening. They're doubling down. They're realizing that every time they try to go after Trump, they try to go after the Republicans and what the Republicans are doing and whatever they're doing, they end up losing. And they're going to lose this thing on the gerrymandering thing too, because their states are already been gerrymandered to the max. Well, we're just going to do the same thing in our states now. We're going to play war. Beto O'Rourke. Robert O'Rourke. O'Rourke. That's a real Mexican name. He now has come back out on the scene. He's talking. Of course, he's cussing. He has to use cuss words. He had to use the F word and a few other things in his little speech he did the other day. They don't show how many people are in the audience. That's interesting on some of these deals where they have these people speaking and doing their little speeches. And they don't actually show how many people are in the audience, which is kind of bizarre to me. And then they have this, background clapping or whatever they have, it sounds enhanced. To me, it sounds enhanced. I don't know. I think it sounds like they're adding to the people laughing or clapping or whatever they're doing. It doesn't sound natural to me. It doesn't sound like a natural room sound to me. But maybe I'm nuts. I don't know. Maybe they are. Maybe they're speaking in front of some big, large group someplace that really cares about what Beto O'Rourke has to say. It just doesn't seem right to me. But anyway, by the way, I guess last night a little restaurant, local restaurant here within our county, it's been around for years, probably 50 years, at least, probably longer than that. A little place called Fashion Farms. It's kind of a restaurant out in the country, kind of a good, it's a big breakfast place. A lot of farmers go there for breakfast and a lot of locals. Kind of out in the middle of nowhere. It's over LaGrange, actually. It burned. I think it burned to the ground last night. The way I understand it. I don't know what happened there. There's some suspicions about some things there, but it burned to the ground. Anyway, it's not there anymore. My family would occasionally get together a couple times a year there. We go on my mom's side, my uncles. I have two uncles left on her side, and they we get together usually once a month for breakfast, and I don't always make it, but we try to get together one Saturday morning a month. And that's one of the places we've gone in the past a couple times. We've gone there. But anyway, it's burned to the ground. Sad. It's just, the turmoil, the employees, everything, just the people who own the place, whatever. I think they might have been trying to sell it, but it's a devastating thing to have happen. My brother's house burned down, and it's just devastating. It uproots everything in your life. Now, of course, this is a business. It's not a home, which is very different, because you lose so much, personal stuff. When a house burns like that, it changes you forever. Changes you for the rest of your life. You don't see things the same way anymore. It's just, realize how quickly things can be lost. Some our hearts go out to those people who are affected by that. Any adverse way. So at the little side note there, now having said all that, I gotta move this microphone. A couple other things I want to talk about. The gerrymandering thing is a battle. It's a war. They're flipping out about that right now. That's the big thing in the news right now. A couple weeks ago, it was Elon Musk. Now it's gerrymandering. There's always a crisis, some kind of constitutional crisis. Now, I think my dog just walked off without me. Stand by 1 second. Listen to this. I'm going to play an advertisement from our sponsor. All right, we're back. I got him back. I retrieved my dog from the. I don't even know what. What did I play? I just pushed a button. What was it? Was it? Oh, it wasn't anything. It was supposed to be that. Oh well. yeah, I have no sponsor. And I'm not planning on ever having a sponsor. But that's. If you'd like to sponsor this show, go ahead and send me some money. I won't do any advertising, but it's just go ahead and send me some money. I have no this whole thing. One of the things that's going on right now is this DC right now. DC's the crime rate in DC is terrible. It's there's been some other places where some things have happened, but the DC is and technically constitutionally the DC is a federal district. It is not an independent state of any kind. It's the District of Columbia. It's not a state. Of course, they have been trying to get representatives and trying to get their own. They're trying to get senators. And they're trying to get their own congressmen and all that stuff. And which they do have now, but they can't. They can't actually. Their vote is kind of a proxy thing. It's kind of a weird setup. But they have their own mayor now and stuff. They have their own city council. And they're doing a terrible job, and they know it. Now they're claiming that crime rate's down now. Of course, Trump wants to bring in the National Guard because most recent thing was one of Doge's employees was beaten up. His kid, young kid, was trying to help. I don't know how whatever happened to the lady. Some lady got beat up. They're not talking about her at all. Maybe she didn't get hurt at all. Maybe he stepped in time, but he got the daylights beat out of him for trying to help this lady who was being attacked. So he stepped in and got beat up. Well, of course, that was the biggest one that made the news. There's been many others. It's like every night. Every night there's somebody that gets stabbed, killed, shot, whatever, beat within the a minute of their life. It's been ridiculous. And it's just know, just the average, of course, theft is on the is a huge issue. What's sad about this is that they're saying, well, crime rates are going down now. Crime rates are going down. We've stabilized it. It's flat now. It's, you know, it's at a normal rate. It's at, not a normal rate, but it's at a, you know, it's not increasing. The problem that nobody's talking about is there's a little scandal behind the scenes here. Very few people are talking about it. There's been a couple of, just maybe one or two news people, mostly independent news people, who said anything at all about this little scandal about the chief of police in D.C., who's now under investigation. In fact, he's being charged, I guess. It's breaking the law. Because what he was doing was fudging the numbers. He was changing the numbers and of course, this, when they do this kind of thing, it's either to look, make themselves look better or also and or because the mayor wants things to look better. So they will do this kind of thing. So they're just changing the statistics. They either redefine what crime is or they just flat out change the numbers. Well, if it's a crime that was involved in less than $900, we're not going to report it. We're not going to charge anybody. So that it just start reducing what we call crime. Therefore, the crime rate goes down. That's how these people think. This week we're going to have a show every day this week, and it's except for Monday, of course. And I was in Canada yesterday and over the weekend, actually. And it was just very difficult. Getting back was just a long day. And it's just was unable to get a show in yesterday. So it's just that. There you go. That's my excuse. I'm sticking with it. I want to talk more this week about some of this stuff, about how the logic of the Democrats and just because there's no logic at all. When you have logic and reasoning, when that flies out the window, everything becomes subjective. Everything becomes a boiling point, a talking point, a narrative, an emotional trigger. There's no reasonable discussion or debate based on logic, facts, and truth. When that starts to happen, you have lost your society. You can't have a reasonable debate based on anything, because what you decide on doing, how you decide on doing things, is based on nothing but emotional content, which is 90% of the time is the wrong way to establish anything, especially from a centralized government standpoint. Now, having said that, you know, I guess I don't have much time here. I've spent so much time doing this. I got to get my dog to the vet here in just a few minutes. But there's this big thing about Trump stepping in and basically, you know, nationalizing D.C. again and coming in with the National Guard and taking over D.C. and making it. So now they're calling it civil war in D.C. It's a civil war. He's a dictator. He's taking over. Well, yeah, because you're not. Somebody's got to do it. It's constitutionally, it is the federal government's responsibility. The bottom line, at the end of the day, it is a federal district. It's not a state. They're not sovereign in their statehood. Now, that being said, there's also I guess the dog wants to. He wants to go. He wants to go get fixed right now. He's up and at him. The other thing that I think is in dire need of discussion is the Tulsi Gabbard issue here right now. She's very quiet about this. She's given some press releases and she's made some comments and she's made some statements, but she's been very quiet. However, the things that are going on behind the scenes, she is going after some folks. And this whole thing about hell hath no fury as a woman scorned. What they did to her by putting her on a watch list, you know, you're serving your country. You're a part of the National Guard. You've been in the military. You've dedicated yourself to truth, justice, and the American way, which, by the way, is another thing I want to talk about real quick before I go today. And they come out and treat you like an enemy, like a foreign, like a Russian asset, that you're somehow some kind of problem. This I don't think she's going to forget that anytime soon. It was one of her biggest reasons for leaving the Democrat Party and one of her biggest reasons for climbing on board. You know, she didn't just jump over to the Republican side. She left and became – she left the Democrat Party first. Then, after a time of wait, she joined the Republican Party. She became a Republican. This has earned a tremendous amount of respect from me. And the fact that she's willing to go after these Democrats who did what they did, she's not just trying to play a game, a political game here. This is winning my respect. And you know, she's still a politician, don't get me wrong. They're still, you know, yeah. But this is the kind of thing that wins my respect. And she's actually doing something about it. She's actually revoked the security clearances of all these people. Kamala Harris has had her security clearance revoked. Former vice president and presidential candidate Kamala Harris, revoked. Clapper, revoked. Brennan, revoked. I believe Obama has even had his security clearance revoked, if I remember right. I'm not sure. All behind the scenes, all being done because there is something brewing here. Now, I don't know. I have a feeling that Clapper and Brennan are probably going to – they may be perp walked. I don't know. I think that there's something going to happen with them. Some other people like Adam Schiff and Letitia James, some of these people who were going after Trump on real estate issues and Russia collusions crap and all this other stuff that was going on, they're on the hot seat as well because they've committed some serious defrauding of the government, defrauding of banks as well as loan institutions. There's just all kinds of things that are going on there. And it's DOJ is going after them. And rightly so. I think they should, especially after the way they went after some. They trumped up, literally, not to put a play on words. They made up all kinds of charges, changed laws and rules. But by the way, E. Jean Carroll, we're going to talk about that whole thing. We'll talk about that more this week because there's a kid out there that keeps inferring, people like to say that he was charged with rape. He lost a case, you know, the civil case of rape. No, it wasn't. It was not slander. What was it? Defamation lawsuit. He lost a defamation lawsuit. Didn't lose a civil rape case. Anyway. Which is bizarre. There's a really good lawyer. Another lawyer. I like Gouveia, Robert Gouveia. He's awesome. But there's another the guy I've been listening to a little bit too. He's can't think of his name right now. But he's very just very methodical, very logical, very kind of lays it out the way it is. He's been talking. He was talking about the other day. He was talking about what's her name? Candace Owens, saying if she gets a fair trial, she will win. This whole Macron thing. If she does not get a fair trial, she'll lose. It's just cut and dry. She said she should win this case. She doesn't. It wasn't fair because he was looking. You know, he kind of spelled the whole case out and what it's all about, how the law should respond, how the what it all looks like. His analysis was, if the case is fair, if they charge everything properly and everybody does everything, you know, on the up and up, she will win the case because she's being sued. Anyway, which I don't really follow her much anymore, just because of where she's gone. But So there you go. Now that's the other thing. That's kind of the last thing I want to talk about was this whole thing with Tulsi Gabbard. And one other thing, I saw this shirt the other day. It said, "Equality and justice for all." That's not what the. It's liberty and justice for all. Liberty is different than equality. I looked at it very closely because I wanted to make sure it didn't say equity and justice for all. It said equality and justice for all. Now, I'm all about equality. But this is twisting really what the founders wanted. Liberty is very different than equality. There's two different things there. With liberty and justice for all. Liberty, it's for every individual. You have, in other words, liberty comes with one thing: responsibility and accountability. Those two things. With great liberty comes great responsibility. If you don't uphold your responsibility, you will be held accountable as an individual, not as a people group, not as a gang, not as a skin color, European, whatever you come from, wherever you come from kind of thing. This is an individual issue. And that's the woke version is equity or equality for all. Folks, I really have to get going because of the dog. The dog just has to be fixed. I have to get out the door. So I still have to get some different clothes on and get out the door. Once again, folks, thanks for being with me this morning. Welcome to the show and welcome to the week. Welcome to the end of the month. I'm practically here, end of the year. Once again, I'll be on tomorrow morning, probably at a normal time, early in the morning. Hopefully, at some point this week, I'm going to have a show from the worldwide headquarters. I don't know when that's going to happen, but try it. Once again, 312. Yeah, did I say that right? 812-379-8778. Call, text the show. Feel free to do that. It's a free call. It's free. You can call for free, except for the cost of the internet. God bless, folks. Have a great rest of your day, rest of your week. Take care. I will talk to you tomorrow. See ya.